party. Good to see all of you here. I want to start off with a prayer, and I'd just like to pray also for Tara's parents and for this progression. It was really great to hear these testimonies this morning, and God's doing a new thing amongst us. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for all that you're doing. We're just so excited about all the work that you're doing in our lives and in our church and our community. We thank you for the work that you're doing in Tara's family, and it's a new thing, and we just pray blessing upon that. We just bless what you are already doing, because your hand and your spirit's already at work. And we just pray that you would bless and you would anoint Tara as an ambassador of Christ, as one who is sent into her family to preach and spread the good news, to share the love of Jesus to them. And bless all of us in this, God. This is a new season for us of evangelism and just growth and spiritual progress. And so we just bless what you are doing. You're doing a new and sweet thing, and we want to give you praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning we're starting a new series called A New Season. I believe that our church is in a new season. I'll share a little bit about that in today's message. And the title of today's sermon is All Things New. God is making all things new. In fact, God is even making the PowerPoint templates new. And I want to thank the operations team for that and just the creative collective. And can we just give them a hand first and also just thank for putting all that together as well. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage of scripture, Luke chapter 5, 33 to 39. If you could turn there in your Bibles, it would be good. We will have that up on the PowerPoint, but I always encourage us to bring our Bibles and you can see the passage in context as well. So Luke 5, 33 through 39. And I wanted to start off with an illustration just to help get us thinking along the lines of what the passage is talking about this morning. And I need your help for this opening illustration. We're going to take a selfie together in this sermon. And and we're going to post this on our church social media. So be sure to look pretty for this picture. All right, so I'm going to take two. So one on this side and then one on this side. I'll use this as a form of our illustration. So this side, get ready and smile. You guys are excited about this, right? It's going on our social media. All right, so smile for us. Smile for everyone on the internet. All right, this side of the room. One, two, three. And then this side. One, two, three. Smile. All right, we'll post it up later on our social media page and Facebook page and such. It really is amazing how much phone technology has advanced, right, even in just several years. It would have been unthinkable to be able to take a picture and post it all on one device, on one phone, but this is what happened in the last several years. Let's contrast our smartphone with this old device. How many of you guys remember one of these? How many of you guys have ever made a phone call on one of these? Raise your hand. Wow, a lot of you. Okay, if you're old, if you've made a phone call on one of these. I'm dating myself, but when I was a little boy, this is all that was around. Touchtone phones were like kind of just making it into society, but this is what we had. And if you would let me say, I think this is a good contemporary illustration of the new and the old. The new is more advanced. If I can say it's better, it's more capable to do things, et cetera, et cetera. This is the old. We have replaced the old with the new. In today's passage in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is making a contrast kind of related to their times and their culture, and he's giving an illustration of the old versus the new, and he begins to speak into that, of the old versus the new. Okay, so Luke chapter 5, 33 to 39, let's see what Jesus has to say about the new versus the old. What's his thoughts on it? Luke chapter 5, 33 through 39. Can we read it out loud together? This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's also speaking to those who are gathered together. So there's probably lots of followers of his as well that are listening in. And here's what he had to say. Let's read it out loud together. Luke 5, 33 through 39. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wineskin into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and no one drinking old wine wants a new, for they say the old is better. So Jesus is literally inaugurating a new season. He is inaugurating a season of the new covenant. He's inaugurating a season of salvation. He's inaugurating a season of personal relationship with Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, died a painful death, rose again, he was inaugurating a new season to offer us salvation. And the Pharisees were here maybe holding on to the things that were old, the old covenant, the old ways. And Jesus is here, he's speaking to the crowds, he's doing ministry, he's 3 years of ministry on the earth. The kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of God is breaking in into people's lives. And this is cause for celebration, right? It is new, it is better, it is more advanced. And so people are beginning to celebrate. That's why these crowds are gathering around, listening to him. But there is this group of people who are not celebrating. And in fact, they began to say some things against Jesus. So let's read it again, verse 33. Here's what the naysayers, the Pharisees, were saying. They were not celebrating the new season. They were saying this. Let's read it together again. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. So the Pharisees were saying to Jesus, he was saying, you and your disciples are not fasting. Fasting is a spiritual thing. We fast. John's disciples fast. But Jesus, you and your disciples are not. And they began to question the legitimacy of Jesus, question the legitimacy of his message, saying that he is not fasting. Jesus responds to this criticism and lack of celebration about the new season by saying in verse 34 and 35, let's read Jesus' response together again. And Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. Jesus was saying there was going to come an appropriate time and there was going to come a necessity for his disciples to fast. But Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you must not be capturing the new season. You must not be capturing how great and how advanced it is with this new covenant and what I'm offering as new, because it seems like you are not celebrating. And Jesus begins in this passage to encourage them and help them to capture the excitement of the new season, of the new advances in the kingdom of God. Now, since I'm using an iPhone as an illustration this morning, I want to show you about a minute and a half of Steve Jobs when he first introduced the iPhone. Because I feel like what he was doing at Macworld 2007 was very similar to what Jesus is doing in this passage. When he began to announce the iPhone, he was like, you know, this is celebration, it's the iPhone. But some people, you might have felt like they weren't that excited, and he began to try to help them capture the excitement. Take a look at Steve Jobs, about a minute and a half, Macworld 2007, and I want to relate it to what Jesus is saying in this passage. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
I think Jesus, when he was standing before that crowd, had a similar message to them, a similar message to us. Sometimes we're not capturing the newness of what Jesus wants to initiate in our lives, what he wants to initiate in our lives through salvation. And we could maybe grow bored to it, grow cynical to it, maybe just grow just used to it. But God wants to communicate his salvation message. The new covenant is something that is advanced, that far outpaces the things that were old. And Jesus, in this passage, begins to help the Pharisees, or help the people that are gathered together, help them to capture the newness and the excitement of this message of salvation. So let's take a look at what else he says. Let's read again verse 36. Here's how he begins to encourage them to capture the newness of what he is initiating in the new season and new covenant of salvation. Let's read verse 36. He told them this parable. No one tears a place out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch on the new will not match the old. So Jesus was saying, if you have an old garment, and let's say you have a duplicate other shirt that's brand new, but this one grows old and worn out, etc., you couldn't just take a new piece off of that brand new fabric and place it on the old, because the old one has faded, worn out, stretched, etc. And we all understand this. And the ones that were gathered together, they understood that. But Jesus was trying to communicate to them, maybe I could relate it to this imagery. He was saying, you can't just patch on maybe a phone, a camera to this, and start calling it an iPhone. Right? He was saying that you can't just take a patch of something that's new and put it on an old and begin to live life that way. But Jesus was challenging the ones who had gathered together. And I believe that God is challenging us, as God initiated a new thing in our lives, to say we can't just take a little piece of Jesus and add it onto our old lives. We can't just take a patch of Jesus and add it onto our old habits, the old way of how we live life. As God begins to initiate some new things in our lives, I look out across this room, I know some of the stories, new situations of school, new situations of work, transition, new situations of family, of marriage, etc. As Jesus begins to initiate these new things, we can't just take a patch of Jesus and just add it on to the old things, because God wants to do something that's completely new. And so Jesus begins to go on in this passage and teach us how then is a better method, what is a better methodology? Instead of taking a patch of Jesus and putting under the old, what is the methodology that he recommends? Let's read verse 37 and verse 38. Let's read it out loud together. This is the methodology that Jesus asks of us. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. So he applies the same idea to wineskins, saying, you know, you can't take the new patch and put it on the old. But then he extends it. He extends this idea in verse 38. In verse 38, he also says, no, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, meaning it has to be completely new. God might give us new wineskins, new opportunities of school, new opportunities of career, new opportunities of family, of marriage, etc., whatever the case may be. But Jesus is saying it's got to be completely made new. The new wine has got to come into the new wineskins. Now, this may seem like it is just, you know, straightforward, you know, obvious, you know, when salvation happens, God wants to make all things new. But then it's interesting what he says in verse 39. Verse 39, let's read it again together. When Jesus closes out this passage, he says, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. Is Jesus contradicting himself? The whole way through, he's speaking about the new. He has initiated the new. It's more advanced. It's better. We need to go for the things that are new, the new covenant, enter into salvation. And then he says, it's got to be all made new. All of our lives have been made new, not just a portion of it. It's all got to be made new. But then he lands on, he says, but some people say that the old is better. Is he contradicting everything that he said? Well, Jesus, you got to understand, was speaking to an audience, the original audience. They knew everything about wine, right? They drank wine at every single meal. So they were very, very aware of everything to know about wine. And you would probably have heard the age-old thing about, you know, aged wine is better, right? And certainly that circulates around, and that circulates around them as well. But I don't know a lot about wine, but I did know this, and I made sure that I looked at many different sources to make sure that this was true, and it is true. And I'll just give one place. I think of a reliable resource, Oprah.com. And here's the myth. It says, old wine is better. That's the myth, reality. Much of the time, that's simply not true, since most wines are made to be consumed within a year or two of their release. The rare exceptions come with a lot of responsibilities attached, beginning with proper storage and a group of knowledgeable and appreciative friends to drink them when the time comes. Listen, the Pharisees who were gathered together, the ones that were gathered here listening to Jesus, they knew this. Jesus was making a sarcastic remark to them. By the way, in the Gospels, Luke is the only one that includes this little piece at the end. It was a sarcastic remark of Jesus saying to the disciples and those that are gathered together, or me saying to us this morning, God saying to us this morning, you know better than that. You know better that the old is not the way to go. You know that the old is not the way that you want to continue. No one is going to come in here and trade their smartphones today for this rotary phone. And Jesus understood that, and he's challenging the Pharisees and saying, then what's the reason that you continue to go back to the old? That you understand and know that this is a myth, but don't keep going back to the old ways. The old covenant, the old lifestyle, the old way of doing things. God's saying, Jesus is saying that he desires to make all things new. I want to tell you why I'm preaching this sermon today and bringing us to this passage. I think there's a really deep application for us in this next season and this new season that we're in as a church. And God has already initiated some things new. I want to be clear that this passage is about initial salvation. It is about Jesus when we get saved. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and it is about that. But certainly, at any point in our journey of faith, in our journey in a relationship with Jesus, that he speaks to us, and he says, listen, I'm making all things new. Listen, don't go back to this way of doing things. Don't go back to the way that's old, that's dilapidated, that's outdated, when there's something that's better, when there's something that's more advanced. And Jesus begins to speak this into our lives. You know, in the natural, God has already initiated some very clear things that were being made new. Last Thursday in this room, we had the area pastors gathering. And I think I mentioned this to us before, but that our church has become the area church, has become the leading church amongst the 9 Vineyard churches in our in the Los Angeles area. And they did this not for any other reason, but they began to see the fruit in our church, and they began to see what God is doing. And they want us to be in this place of leadership in the Vineyard. And God has initiated this new, of certainly this building. Many of you know we were in this 3-year process of acquiring this building. We just completed that a couple months ago. Certainly more recently, this sanctuary expansion that we just did, God has made this new. And God initiated some things in the natural that he desires to do much more deeper in the spiritual, in the emotional, in the mental, to make all things new. But Satan wants to tempt us and wants to keep us in the old. You know, it is possible to go home and use his phone. I plugged it in this week at my house. You could send and receive calls with this phone. It's possible to go and live your Christian life, to walk out of this room, to listen to this message, to hear Jesus saying that he wants to make all things new, but go out of this room and just go back to the old and keep trying to live a life, and maybe, as stupid as it may sound, but to try to patch on a little bit and try to patch on a camera here and call it an iPhone and keep on navigating life like this. It's possible. Listen, I think a lot of us maybe even resonate with this. Maybe that we see certain aspects, as Holy Spirit may be reminding us now, where we see this enacted in our lives. And I just want to declare over our lives, declare over our church in this new season, that Jesus is about making all things new in our lives. Not just a new sanctuary, not just a new position of area church, not just a new building, but Jesus' best for us is to make all things new. One specific application that I felt this morning to speak to us is about old habits. I think sometimes we can start settling. we can start settling that this is just the way that I am. You know, these things, this way that I've navigated life, this is just me. Yes, I believe in salvation. I believe that that is a new advancement, a new covenant, a new relationship with Jesus. But we begin to settle that maybe these habits are just a part of me, and I'm just going to navigate life with these old habits. Listen, I just want to declare over our lives this morning. I want to declare God's truth over our lives this morning. He doesn't just make one portion new. He doesn't just make some of us new. He wants to make all of us new. I want to declare over our lifestyles and our and those things that we're struggling with. Jesus desires this morning and in this new season to make those old habits new with new habits, new lifestyles in his way. And I wanted to say, it's not about guilt. So this morning, if you're right now just feeling guilty, like, yeah, I have some old habits, I'm going back to this way. Jesus is never about guilt. The Bible tells us, therefore now anyone that we will receive no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But it's about receiving God's best and not receiving the enemy's voice, because the enemy will quickly say to us, I couldn't stop the new building. I couldn't stop the new advance of the area church. But listen, your habits, the old habits, I'm sorry, those are going to stay. Listen, you struggled with them in the past. You tried to break free of them before. It's just the way that it is. And the enemy will be quick to try to lie to us about that. Another thing that I felt like that the Lord wants to say to us is about worry. Would you agree? Can I put it this way? It gets old pretty quick to navigate life with worry. To navigate, yeah, the enemy couldn't stop us from accepting Christ. The enemy couldn't stop us from being here this morning. But the enemy might be lying to us and saying, but you're going to have to navigate life with those worries. Worrying about those health things, those family things, those ministry things, those work things, those future things. And we just begin to navigate life with those worries. Listen, I just want to declare over our lives, over our church, over our future, over our new season, we don't need to navigate life with the worries of this world. That is not God's best for us in the name of Jesus. That is the old. And Jesus said, I have initiated the new. It's better. It's more advanced. It's going to navigate much better. And don't go back to the old. I also felt this morning, especially when Kennedy shared, because God is enacting lots of like physical healings amongst us. I believe that there is going to be more. And listen, for some of us this morning, I feel like it's tough to navigate the journey and fulfill your destiny in Christ when there's like this nagging thing of health that's just lingering about. And I just want to say, let's not go the path of being cynical or whatever it may be. But God wants to initiate in this season all things that are new, all things in our lives that are new. And I believe that the Lord wants to keep on healing some of us, even in the physical, eliminating the worry, eliminating the old habits, bringing in the new habits upon us. And let me close with this. The illustration in this passage was new wine into new wineskins. Wine in the Bible often symbolized the Holy Spirit. Listen, you want to see a replacement of the new, of the old? And Jesus gave us an illustration. It's got to be new wine into the new wineskins. It's got to be new school, academic opportunities, new work opportunities, new family, marriage, things, opportunities, new relationship opportunities, new wineskin. But listen, you need new wine. You need the Holy Spirit to be poured out into the new wineskins in order that all things be made new. And that's what Jesus wants to do in this new season, in Jesus' name. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we close and we respond to God's word. I'll ask the worship team and the prayer team to come forward. And this is a portion that I say, let Holy Spirit speak to you. What's Holy Spirit speaking to you? Ask that question to the Holy Spirit right now. How would Holy Spirit ask you to apply this message? He wants to make all things new. He wants to pour new wine into the new wineskins. But I give us these three specific applications this morning. For some of us, it's a struggle with old habits. He wants to make all things new. I just feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to say one more thing. about old habits. I believe God will enact something supernatural this morning regarding that. But I also want to say, when you walk out of this room and you go about this week, and life hits, and although I believe God will do something supernatural, but for whatever reason, you get knocked down again, don't accept that as your destiny. I want to tell you, your destiny in God is that he would make all things new. And you get right back up and you proclaim that over your life, that he is going to make all things new. And that you can slip up, but you say it again, say it out loud, say it to the enemy, and say it before God, that he is making all things new. And keep declaring that over your lives, and keep declaring that over our church in this new season, that it's going to be new wine in new wineskins, all things new. The freshness of God, the freshness of his Spirit poured out on us. All eyes closed and heads bowed. If you're here, you're struggling with old habits. And maybe the enemy has been trying to lie to you, like, hey, listen, you got to navigate life with this. It's the way it is. It is what it is. You struggled with it before. You struggled with it for a long time. It is what it is. Would you declare over your life the power of the Word of God that it is new wine and new wineskin? All eyes closed and heads bowed. Let this be a really private moment, right? Hand all the way up and then all the way down. Say, I need new wine and new wineskins regarding habits. All the way up and then all the way down. Say yes to God. Declare that over your life in the name of Jesus. I declare that over your life in the name of Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you walk out of this door, keep declaring that over your life. It's new wine and new wineskins. Old habits will fall. New habits, new lifestyles in Jesus' name to match with a new season that God is doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Not by our power, not by our strength, but by the newness of God, the new wine, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the name of Jesus. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Anyone here plagued by worry and has been worried and the enemy's been lying? Hey, you gotta navigate life with worry. I can't stop you from being a Christian and being in church, but it's just nagging worry. Worry about health, finances, future, family, job, etc. And it's just plaguing. Hand all the way up and then down. And you're saying new wine in new wineskins. Holy Spirit, do your work. All the way up and then all the way down. Father, I just declare your word. You said to us in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is our portion in the name of Jesus. That is your portion. That's the newness that God is enacting this morning in our hearts and in our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. Replace peace with replace the worry with your peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. We receive that peace that transcends all understanding. Guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Physical healing is here this morning. Father, what do you want to do? Spirit of God, what do you want to do? What new things do you want to do this morning? I feel like we need to pray for those tough things this morning. Those things that the doctors already said this is the way that it is. Things that we feel like will not change. Things that we may not be able to confirm this morning. After prayer. But things that were just already so-called diagnosed by doctors. By the way, sometimes the things that doctors tell us can function as a curse, because the doctors just say something and we just accept that that is the reality. God is God of the impossible. God who makes all things new. So, Father, just pray, Lord, release your spirit that heals. And we're just going after those tough things, those tough things that are seemingly impossible. In Jesus' name, release your healing on those things in the name of Jesus. We just all stand together. Can you just extend your hands out, palms up to heaven, just receive the new wine into the new wine skins. We're going to close out with just a couple of songs. Just put your palms out. New wine. New wine. Come, Holy Spirit, do your work. I want to urge you for these three things. Our prayer team is going to be up here to pray for any and all needs, but these three things. If it's old habits broken and replaced by the new, it's about worry being replaced with peace, the peace of God, and those tough things, so the health things, where the doctors are ready just said this is the way it is. It is what it is. And we're going to declare the newness of Christ over our lives. In Jesus' name. Let's worship together as we close.